Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
I'm here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate. I'm here with Mark Johnston. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing all right today. It's a decent day. How about yourself?
Doing fabulous. Today, we're talking about why your spouse won't talk with you. So raise a hand, your hand. Let me know in the comments, is your spouse talking with you right now? Why do you think they might be resistant to talking with you? Maybe at all about the relationship? Let us know in the comments. We will answer every single comment that we get. But before we dive into the reasons why your spouse might not be talking with you and the solutions, we're going to share our client win of the week. This one comes with permission from Jason, who is one of our coaching clients. And he says, Mark and Heather, Mary and I just celebrated our 14th wedding anniversary. I just want to thank you so much for helping us get there. I thought I had lost her and she would never forgive me. Nothing I did before was working, and the stuff our counselor was telling us was making it worse. You were the turning point for us. I learned how to work on myself and to truly understand her. And now she's back with me and we are doing better than ever. Our kids are so happy and we are grateful to you. So congratulations to Jason. Thank you for sharing that. You guys give some love to Jason for sharing his experience here, how he thought he lost her, thought she could never forgive him. And now they are back together and Wow. Their kids are happy and grateful. That's a beautiful story there. So good job, Jason. And thank you, Mark, for doing such a great job coaching these clients to help them get such great results.
It's always great to hear stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let us know in the comments. Maybe you're at a similar place to Jason where you're like, I feel like there might not be any hope. I feel like I've lost my spouse, or my spouse is just putting up lots of resistance in communication, because this is going to be for you guys today, right? So Let's dive in here. And again, let me know in the comments, because I'm watching you guys live and we also read the comments for the replay. Why do you think your spouse doesn't want to talk to you? And if you could rate your communication on a scale of 1 to 10, how much communication do you have? 10 being awesome. You can talk about anything. Everything feels really safe. You can be completely vulnerable and you communicate all the time. And 0 being you don't have any communication whatsoever. They've completely blocked you. Maybe you have a restraining order. You haven't talked in over a year. Okay. So on that scale of 0 to 10, where do you guys fall with your communication? And we will give you solutions, even if you're on the lower end of the spectrum. Now, if you're at a level 0, then there isn't really much that we can do. But we are going to talk about if you're between like a 1 and a 5, this is definitely going to be some solutions for you guys today. So, Mark, why do you think spouses don't want to talk? Why don't they want to open up?
Well, I mean, it depends on what's going on. Like sometimes this is like my spouse doesn't want to talk about reconciliation, like those big plans to fix things, or maybe it's about the relationship or anything in depth, or maybe it's really bad and they just don't want to talk at all. And while a lot of those sound differently, I believe that it's all just a matter of like scale. It's very similar problems just amplified a whole lot if they're not wanting to talk at all, or maybe it's just mostly bad if they're just not wanting to talk about some things. But if you're at this point where it's mostly shut down or your spouse has been very closed off, I do think that there are some very, very common themes in why they are not talking. I think actually that's mostly what we want to go over today, is like these very specific issues, these themes, and go a little bit into depth. So, you know, if you guys have been listening to the podcast, we like our lists, going over like categorizing our points and whatnot. I think the first one I'd like to go over is this idea of leave me alone versus like putting in some effort. I don't, to clarify what that is, what I mean by that. I don't know, Heather, if you've ever been in this position or if you've ever seen this sort of thing. Like sometimes people shut down and they're like, they genuinely don't want to talk and they don't want you to do anything. And they're actually just saying, I want you to leave me alone. But then some people do play this sort of game where they're like, I don't want to, they say that they don't want to talk, but they really mean, I want my partner to put in some effort. I want them to like push past some of this. I actually want them to show that they care.
Yes. I've totally seen this as well. And just an example from, you know, my own relationship here is that Ben is the one that's like, he wants to be left alone. He actually wants to be left alone. And I have fallen into the other group in the past where you play this like kind of passive aggressive, maybe a little bit manipulative of this thing where you're like, how are you doing? Fine. That's code for I'm not fine. And I actually want you to put an effort to talk about it. Right. Or they're going to say, I don't want to talk about this. And they're actually kind of baiting their spouse to try harder to show them that they care or show that they want to talk and to fix this for them. Right. And so it is a kind of an interesting dynamic. So I've experienced both in my marriage. And I would say that there's a healthy level of like, hey, I need some space versus leave me alone. Like I'm completely shutting you out, which is probably what a lot of you guys are facing is more of that end. And then this other one, which is hard to read, leave me alone, but I actually want you to put an effort here to try to talk to me. So let us know in the chat, have you experienced any of these in your own marriage?
I know I'm a little bit guilty of that myself sometimes. I'm usually the one that's a little bit more avoidant of these confrontations, but, and so I'll often silently stew if I'm upset. And the reality is in my head, I'm thinking to myself, well, why doesn't she notice? And shouldn't she come and talk to me and try to, and at the same time, I'm the one saying, like you were describing, like, I'm fine. I don't need to talk about it, but I secretly, I kind of do wish that she would push past this. And I honestly, I would agree. I recognize that's not the best way to go about it. And I think that's where my wife, Jen, and I do get past that a little bit, where after the fact, I recognize that that was a silly thing to do. I think that would be, it would prove to be a lot more damaging otherwise, but it definitely has, it is an odd thing. It's hard to explain any other way. It's an odd thing for people to say, don't talk to me, when really what you actually mean is, no, please try harder.
Yeah. I'm just going to touch on this and I'd love to hear what you think, where that dynamic actually comes from. What I see and what I felt in my own self is we go to the drama triangle, right? You've got your hero, you've got your persecutor, and you've got your victim. And when I'm playing that card of don't talk to me, but I actually want you to put in more effort to talk to me or whatever that looks like, that's the victim role. And you're wanting them to hero you. You're wanting them to rescue you. You're wanting them to show you that they're going to come in on their white horse and save the day and that you're their one and only and blah, 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 blah. Right. But it's a victim kind of position of it's kind of passive aggressive manipulative behavior there. At least that's what I see. What do you see, Mark?
I think for me, you know, if I have to really have some self-examination, I'm thinking to myself, I want there to be some recognition of like how I might have been wronged or how I'm hurting. I want some recognition of even their responsibility, which is still, once again, it's not a great thing of me, but I think a lot of that, you're right in that it comes from this victim mentality, like I've been wronged, I want you to fix this. But if I'm going a little bit more nuanced, I'm wanting some recognition, I'm wanting some empathy, I'm wanting them to recognize that I've been hurt in some way. And you know, we've talked about this drama triangle with some frequency, right, on the podcast. It's a concept that comes up here and there. And I think the solution to this, We're not going to go over solutions with all these areas, but there is a clear solution to this, I think. And it's very clear, or it's very much related to what we talk about with the drama triangle as well. I think it's a lot about clear communication, clear, especially around intentions, about expectations. I think keeping pressure low does a world of good with all of this. I don't know, I hate being the one that, like, I have to be talked out of this. Like, there's a little bit of guilt, a little bit of shame. But I do recognize, like, that when I'm in that mode and Jen comes to me and she says, hey, I would like to talk. I would like to work this through. I can talk to you when you are ready to get out of this funk a little bit. And I'm like, man, okay, I guess she's right. And I guess we should actually talk about it instead of just me being like this. Right. I don't know, like, you're mentioning that you do this as well. I mean, how do you and Ben work through that?
I don't think it's a pattern I do currently. I've learned it's much more effective for me just to say what I mean clearly. Because I don't ever fall into the category of, I actually want you to leave me alone. I never fall into that category, like, ever. So I'm always wanting to talk about things. I'm always wanting to solve things. And then Ben is more of the avoider. So I might be more the pursuer avoider. But I think that the solution really comes as you have, like, the clear intention, right? You say exactly what you're really wanting clearly. So I've learned just to be, like, I don't know. I just do this thing where, like, I check in with my gut and my heart. And I'm like, what am I actually, like, scared of? That's usually the first question. Because if I'm trying to do a mind game and I'm trying to get some response from him, there's usually something I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of being rejected. I'm afraid of him pulling away. I'm afraid of him shutting down. I'm afraid of him, whatever, right? And so when I check in with that, like a gut check, I just say, you know, I'm actually feeling afraid right now. And I'm afraid that you're going to pull away from me. And I just be, like, really vulnerable with, like, the core of what I'm feeling. And then he's like, has a lot of empathy for me. And what I'd like to see here is this. I'd like to see that I'm safe with you. I'd like to see that you are caring about me and invested in our relationship. I'd like to see that I am a priority to you, right? I like to make sure that we're both feeling a priority to each other. And now I can say those things very bluntly and very clearly because we're at a level in our relationship that can be well received. I want to, like, state as we're sharing this with our audience here is that that might not be where you're at, obviously. So you need to handle this with care and make sure that you solve problems in the correct order. So usually the solution for you guys is going to be still a clear communication of your intentions and your expectations, but keeping the pressure low. Like, I can say, like, Ben, I want to know that you're invested in this relationship. But if your spouse is pulling away from you and wanting a divorce, like, you cannot say, I want to know that you're invested in this relationship. I think we've made that clear over and over with our podcast here. That's going to backfire, right? So we want to keep the pressure really low. And so an example of that would be like, I would like to resolve this issue that we have by working together. And I'd like to be able to talk with you when you are ready. So that takes the pressure off and also sets the expectation and the intention that you have. So let me know in the chat if this is resonating with you guys. How could you shift maybe some of this? I want you to put in more effort, or, you know, they're really wanting you just to leave them alone. How could you instead have more of this clear communication of your intentions and expectations and take the pressure off? Give me an example specifically of how you think you could do this. Maybe take something that you said or in the past week or so that maybe didn't work well, maybe because the pressure was too high, or you weren't clear about your communication, like, of your intentions, and I'll coach you on that. I'll let you know how well you did, okay? So put an example of what you did, why you think it didn't work, and how you could do it better now, and I'll show you if you got it right. Do a little bit of coaching in the comments with you guys.
I'd like to apply this a little bit more broadly, Heather. Yeah. Like, in terms of why this really shuts down communication or what's going on in the background. I think whether people fall into the category of leave me alone or I want you to put in some more effort, I want to say in both those cases, I would guess that there's a sense of overwhelm in that lack of communication, that there's a problem that really needs to be addressed very directly, and it's not getting noticed. It's not, the spotlight isn't being pointed at that. And so almost always, if you're getting a lot of that, leave me alone, put in some effort, something there is feeling overwhelming. And I think that you can make some amount of progress with communication if you were able to shine a little bit of a light on that. And I think that's exactly why what Heather was saying, by being very direct with your communication, being very clear with your intentions, what you actually want, does allow for a lot of that to happen. And I do think that this kind of segues really well into kind of the next category. I think a lot of these have some overlap here. But I think the other area where a lot of shutdown in communication happens is around just general frustrations in communication getting to like a breaking point. So things becoming overly frustrated and now they don't want to talk. I don't know. What do we see with that, Heather?
I was reading a comment. So but I don't want to touch on this comment real quick. We'll get to that.
Sure. Yeah, let's go to the comment first.
So this woman shares, I like your strategy of telling your husband that you're feeling afraid of X, Y, or Z. I may try to do that versus avoid. And that's exactly what I encourage you to do. It's scary at first because you are being very vulnerable, but you will be so surprised when someone shares, not like we have this fear and then we make all of these other things come out of like our mouth and in our behaviors, right? As like a shield to protect us from that fear. So they don't see what is really going on. So we don't get hurt more, blah, 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 right? So sometimes we might blame them or we might, you know, get passive aggressive in this way, whatever, right? And so instead of doing any of those things, you just cut to like the core, almost as if you're like a little child and you're like, what am I actually scared of? And just share that. When people share at that level, it cuts through all the crap, all the dysfunctional patterns and habits that you're in right now with your communication. And usually people will be like, oh, and they also kind of know that. And you just voicing it for what it really is, or they may not really actually know that. And it will give them some understanding and perspective from where you're coming from. It's going to really help to open the door instead of avoiding that. Yeah. So I would really love to see how that works out for you. So let me know. Okay. Now let's go back to frustrations and communication. So Mark, you asked me, you know, why does communication sometimes feel frustrating? Yes. It can often feel very frustrating when the communication seems to just go nowhere, right? And there are no solutions. It doesn't really lead to anything. It's frustrating when cooperation from your partner is limited or non-existent, or they feel it's limited on your part, non-existent on your part. There is a lot of frustration when there is a lot of resistance of others' opinions. And if there's high amounts of tension, blaming, defensiveness, and toxicity, all of these are going to make communication very frustrating for both partners. So when we see this happening, these different, you know, aspects of communication that are so frustrating, that's usually when shutdown occurs, right? Mark, why does that shutdown occur?
I think like the ultimate kind of the conclusion that happens here is they say, okay, having some communication, opening up, sharing anything, it's just not going to be fruitful at all. It's not going to, I think you mentioned a couple there, like a lot of the frustration comes from the sense that it's not going anywhere or the cooperation is non-existent. And so this kind of sense of why bother? It hurts. It's not going anywhere. Why bother opening up? So I'm just going to not talk. I know, like, for me specifically, where Jen and I used to be, I know I sometimes got frustrated with some of our conversations, and I would shut down a little bit more in the past. And a lot of like where my frustration was coming from is I felt like I didn't feel like I could give feedback about our relationship. I couldn't say, hey, I have some concerns about this, because every time I did, I felt like the situation was turned around and the blame went back to me. So it became really frustrating to me where I'd say, okay, I have this concern. And then it would suddenly, Jen's upset with me and I'm the one to blame. So it really didn't feel like those were going anywhere, that like I had any traction with getting my concerns addressed. And so I started shutting down a little bit more at that point in our relationship. And we really had to be like, stop for a good amount of time, you know, many months, and be like, okay, let's catch ourselves here. Let's not go down that route. And let's actually listen to each other. We really had to work on turning that around, that feeling. And I'll say, Jen and I are much better these days, but there's still some like lingering remnants of that. And thankfully, like now, Jen and I both can be like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit of this. Can we shift this? And immediately we will get back on track. And like, that's only really possible because we put in the legwork ahead of time. But this is very much what that is all about, is if your partner feels like, you know, if you're feeling like they're shutting down, I'm guessing that at some point they've learned that being open, having that communication wasn't really doing much good. And so you need to ask yourself, like, let's go back to when things perhaps were a little bit more open, a little bit more communicative, and let's start examining when it started slowing down, what some of the comments were, and maybe what some of the complaints were happening around that. I think that would be a good trail to follow to really figure out what's going on in your relationship.
Yeah, I love what you talked about with like kind of the pattern that you are now. I love to use that word because it's something we address a lot in our coaching, is the pattern that you're in with your spouse, the pattern of communication that you have. So like, you weren't really happy with the pattern that you and Jen were in, and now you guys can recognize, oh, we're starting to step back into that pattern. Let's not go down that route. Let's choose a different route. And that's exactly what we help our clients do as well. In fact, it's one of the things that we are able to like achieve across the board. So not every relationship is saved, but every single client that follows this process is able to get communication open and respectful no matter what. And that's a win. No matter what happens in your relationship, that's a huge skill to learn. And it not only helps that relationship, but all future relationships. So let us know in the comment here, what has been frustrating about your communication with your spouse? Is it that they're shutting down? Is it that they get defensive? Is it that they're blaming everything on you, right? For me, I really got frustrated in my communication when Ben would bring up past stuff, like past issues. I'm like, I'm trying to solve this one. And so that was a pattern that he had. I have a pattern of getting really worked up emotionally and coming on. We're going to talk about emotional overwhelm here in a minute. That was definitely one of my patterns. And so recognizing that I bring a lot of fire, I need to like slow down, not be so defensive, not be so aggressive. I need to listen. I need to understand. I need to have empathy. Shifting that pattern has completely shifted the way that we communicate. Because when I came at him with all that fire and all that, you know, intensity, he just shut down. And then that made me feel even more frustrated. So solving these patterns is fundamental to creating those functional relationships that we really want to have. And if you feel like, yeah, things have been really, really frustrating in our communication, I feel like I don't get anywhere with them, you're not alone. And I want you to know that you can learn how to get there as you apply what we're teaching here. So again, I want to check in with you guys in the chat. What's been frustrating about your communication, and how are you addressing that frustration? Are you addressing it directly? Mark, what might be some of the benefits of addressing the frustration directly?
So I'm thinking back to old lessons, like way back in like undergrad work. And this is like falls into the category of like interviewing skills. So like, this is a big part of the skill set in these sort of jobs, is like, how do you talk to people? How do you get them to open up? How do you ask questions and whatnot? And for some reason, the term just stuck in my mind over the years, this idea of a here and now conversation. So the concept is that, like, a lot of times there might be, you know, there might be arguments over whatever, finances, kids, or there might even just be silence. And, you know, as you bring up some of these concerns, and a here and now conversation says, okay, let's not talk about all these external things, and let's actually talk about what's going on right here and now between the two of us. You know, like in a more therapeutic sort of setting, that might, a lot of times that would be like, hey, I'm noticing some frustration as you're talking about this. And this is like, even as I'm trying to ask you questions, it seems like you're getting amped up. Is there some frustration here between the two of us? And how is that like related to what we're talking about? That would be like a very direct here and now sort of conversation. But like in terms of more of a relationship setting, if you're applying that, you might say, hey, I've noticed that you've been shutting down. I'm wondering if some of the things have been frustrating for you. And I'm wondering if like maybe you're feeling like things are a bit too difficult to talk about. This is like just some prompts to allow them to say, yes, you know, like, I think that's going on. And you're addressing specifically like what, once again, what's going on here and now emotionally between the two of you. And it tends to be that, in my experience, people respond a little bit better to that, especially if you were approaching that same conversation with some calm, you know, like we're going to talk about in a second about that emotional safety. Sometimes I like to picture the idea of like this safe emotional harbor. If you're providing that, in that's emotional safe harbor in this context of a here and now conversation, I think that's an ideal way of getting around some of these frustrations, some of the shutdown.
Love it. So, Mark, I'm really curious. We got a comment here. How would you apply a here and now conversation to this situation? She shares in the comments here. For me, my husband gets very defensive. If I tell him how I'm feeling, he takes it as an argument or a fight, and he ends up screaming and yelling at me. How would you coach this situation, the here and now?
So if I have to explain that concept a little bit further, the suggestions around that sort of conversation, it says to be objective, make observations. And that's I think the best way to approach this. And I would say the same thing in this case. So if we're being objective and making observations, one might say, I'm noticing that when I bring up some of these concerns, that there seems to be a lot of anger and voices get raised. And I'm wondering what that's about. Like, so do we hear like there's objectivity, there's observations, and there's curiosity. I guess I would add that third sort of idea in there. But I think you could apply that no matter what the conversation is. It's almost like the way I picture it in my mind, it's a little bit easy for me when I have a client come in, because I'm very, by definition, this third party that's looking in as like this observer of the situation. But I often picture myself like that when I'm asking these sort of questions. I'm like, I'm feeling like this little scientist and I'm observing this situation down somewhere else. I'm like, oh, that's happening and that's happening and that's happening. Maybe we should just highlight these things. And so in this case here, very much the same thing. Hey, this is what I'm noticing. I'm noticing that you seem to raise your voice when I ask these questions. And much like a scientist, we would say, I don't know why that's going on. Let's ask some questions about that. Why is that going on? Why do you start raising your voice when I ask questions? Because I'm really curious about that. And I imagine in that scenario, he might come back with a lot of blusteriness, like, well, you're doing this. And we keep on that same route. Okay. Like right now, here's another one of those here and now sort of things. Right now, it seems like you're getting upset even as I'm asking questions. And I'm wondering what's going on here. Like, I think I could probably make a lot of guesses if that's what's happening, but like, we really want to open that up. So it's always coming back, we're making observations, because observations are a lot safer than any amount of judgment or interpretation.
Yes, love that. You guys see how awesome Mark is in coaching people through these kind of situations. So if you want help interrupting the pattern that you're in, identifying what the pattern is, maybe if you're not clear on what it is, interrupting that pattern, creating a new pattern, just leave a comment and say pattern down below, and I'll send you some resources on how to change the communication pattern that you guys are in right now. Now let's go into that emotional overwhelm and lack of emotional safety. So many times, you know, many types of people can shut down when feeling like there is just too much drama. There's too much judgment, blame, tension, et cetera, going on. And shutting down or cutting out communication can occur when the person starts to believe that being open or speaking up is going to just result in more problems or more overwhelm. So who here relates to that? That this situation becomes either so overwhelming for you or your spouse that you guys just kind of shut down. Things don't feel emotionally safe for you or emotionally safe for your partner. Mm-hmm. And have you two created an emotionally safe environment, right? Have you ever done that? Have you created an environment with a person in a relationship where it was a safe environment? How did you do that? So I'd love to get your feedback on that.
I think that's like just even an excellent question to reflect on, even if you're not currently experiencing like a lot of openness, because I'm guessing at some point the relationship has been a little bit more open, a little bit more communicative. I assume that because otherwise people wouldn't be here trying to fix the relationship. There has to be something, you know, some point where things were really good and connecting. And like oftentimes when I'm talking with clients, it's always a great place to go back to. I'm like, they'll be telling me, well, we used to talk all the time and now we don't anymore. And it's a good thing to go back and reflect on, like, well, what made that good? What was going on differently at that time? And how were you accomplishing that? And I think a lot of people aren't really aware of all the efforts, all the little things that they were doing, especially in those early stages of the relationship, because it felt a little bit more natural, especially when the relationship was much more exciting. But like what you were describing here, Heather, is like, I think a big reason why many people are shutting down or not communicating is because everything's feeling too overwhelming. It's too much. There's too much static, emotional static, just interfering with everything. And there's a good set of people that just don't want anything to do with that at all. And so it's just so much easier to say, well, okay, screw that. I'm not going to deal with that. I'm just going to not talk. And I mean, it has some similarity to some frustrations, but like the difference here is more like, this is more a sense of this is too much, this is overwhelming, rather than a focus on the outcome. Like if I speak, nothing will happen. And I think it's especially true, like you were describing the scenario, like you, some of your faults there in your relationship earlier on, you're saying, okay, sometimes you were really emotional and Ben would shut down. And I would say it would probably fall under this category here, mm-hmm. you know, back then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like what do we do with this? Where do we go from here with all of that overwhelm? Heather, any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So creating that sense of security so that you can both be open and fully authentic, right? And so, you know, many people may not feel entirely emotionally safe if they perceive that they have been shut down, unheard, or disrespected. So creating a lot of respect and willingness to listen to your partner, willingness to ask those questions to see where they're coming from, taking the pressure off. All of those are going to be really key to creating that safe environment. And so even though like they may be completely at fault, it's still important how they perceive these scenarios, mm-hmm. right? How are they looking at it? And one of the things we talk a lot about here is your spouse's perspective, their narrative, their belief about the relationship as well. I think for me personally, Mark, what's helped create a lot of emotional safety is creating unconditional positive regard. So your spouse has a story about you and you have a story about your spouse. And many times we are just making assumptions or we're creating a story and we're adding more and more evidence to it. Like maybe my story is, and this has been the story, Ben doesn't really care about me. Like he cares about me, but maybe his family comes first. And so I start to look for all the little evidences of, see, this is true. This is true. This is true. He came home from work and instead of saying hi to me, he was on the phone with his brother. instead of going on our date night, he rushed off to help his brother with a family thing that they needed to do, right? I can build up all this evidence, right? And create all these assumptions and create this negative belief about him. And even if those things are true, like some of them, like he did those things, but could there be another way of looking at it? Like, that's what I've had to learn to do. Because if I'm coming at him with all this judgment and all of these preconceived notions, this negative narrative, then that's not going to feel safe to him. He's going to feel judged. He's not going to feel understood. He's not going to feel heard. He's going to get defensive, and he's going to have his negative narrative about me. So when you have two people with a negative belief about each other, that does not equal a happy, close, connected relationship. And it does not equal that harbor of emotional safety. So learning how to question my own assumptions, question my own story or narrative about Ben, instead choosing to have unconditional positive regard for him and allowing him to create that for me as well, has made things much more emotionally safe in our relationship. And that's been a journey, and it comes through a lot of understanding and empathy and a willingness to take the pressure off of each other and to really see the good in each other. And not only just see the good, but to celebrate the differences, recognize the differences, and even honor them, and work together as a team to get our challenges met. So I don't know, Mark, what do you think? What has created emotional safety in your own relationship?
I think, you know, in my relationship with Jen, I'm kind of thinking about those moments where it's felt especially good to be open and communicative with her. And I'm thinking, especially in those moments where I might have like some concerns, some problems, something difficult to share, and then it's received very well, or it's received without super strong reaction, much like we were just talking about with this idea of an emotionally safe harbor. I do feel like just my role in the relationship, I'm usually the one providing that. And so when it's given in return, that feels especially rewarding to me. So this idea that even if it's something rough, even if it's something that my wife doesn't want to hear, if she can listen, if she can understand what I'm trying to say, if she can have some empathy for how I feel, even in some small ways, that has tended to go a really long way for me. And I imagine a lot of other people in these sort of scenarios where there is a lot of overwhelm and there is a little bit too much going on emotionally, there's a little bit too much tension. I think that's a lot of what they're looking for. It's exactly as some of those things, like, can I feel understood? Is the person going to approach me very calmly? If there's, you know, some feedback that I want to be able to give, are they going to be able to receive that well? And I would even almost guarantee that if your spouse is not communicating with you, there's probably a lot of fear around that very concept about whether you will be able to provide that for them. Right or wrong, like, you might be the nicest person in the world, the most understanding in the world, and perhaps this is just a huge, huge sensitivity for them. But what I would say is, like, the more that they can feel like that is absolutely safe and there's not going to be that judgment or blame or criticism or tension or hugely swingy emotions, I think that's what's going to allow for people to open up quite a bit more.
Right.
Thoughts?
Now, I can almost hear, you know, some of our audiences in the back of their mind, they might be thinking, you know, well, they're cheating on me. Of course, I'm going to be angry. Of course, I'm going to be like, you know, it is emotionally overwhelming. And so you're saying I should just be like calm and I should just not have drama. Like, so that's a very valid point. Right. And so there's a way to say that, you know, like, we can process through those emotions and allow ourselves to experience those heightened emotions from this whole process, whether your spouse is cheating or not. You know, put whatever, insert whatever you want to insert. It's traumatic when your spouse is pulling away, when they're shutting down, when they don't want to talk to you. It's traumatic when they are having the affair, right? And so we want to learn how to process through those emotions so that then we can feel them and we don't get stuck in them. Because you can either let your emotions rule you or you can rule your emotions, but you can't do both. So that is a skill that you can learn. And most people do not learn that, which is why we're all kind of running around like a drama TV show. And it's not helping us in our relationships or our lives. So if you want to get out of the drama triangle, just leave a comment and say drama triangle. We'll send you one of our podcast episodes specifically on how to get out of the drama triangle. Mm-hmm. And if you want help on that emotional processing, say emotional processing, and I have some mindset exercises that I give our one-on-one clients on how to help you with that as well. Because that's really, really important. I know if I come all like, you know, guns a-blazing, it is never going to create that emotional safety for my husband. And I can't fight fire with fire. He will just shut down. I'm also going to say though, if you are experiencing a lot of this emotional overwhelm, where there is a lot of this tension, drama, judgment, blame, name calling, toxicity, you know, all of that going on, I call that the fire, right? That's much, well, I don't know, Mark, you tell me what you think. In my opinion, it's much easier to start to shift that than the absolute like cold, apathetic, stonewalling shutdown, because you can quickly diffuse the fire. It takes a little bit more work, in my opinion, to like warm things up when they've gotten so cold. So the good news is if you're in this kind of like fiery up and down, lots of emotional overwhelm, is that things can shift quickly, in my opinion. Mark, what have you seen as far as that goes?
Definitely. I would say that if there's that fiery emotion, at least there's some emotion. And as odd as it sounds, like often I'll celebrate some of those moments with my clients and they'll be like, it was just so terrible. And we had this big fight. And I'm like, great, now we have an opportunity. Because this is the thing about those fiery sort of situations is it does create this opening to solve a problem. Almost always like these fiery interactions are happening because the other person wants the situation, this scenario to go differently. They want something different. And if we can approach that and approach it with some solutions, it's a lot easier to say, oh, hey, we keep having these problems, these fiery interactions, but we also keep resolving them. And that can really start changing that narrative around. And I did want to comment.
Good example.
Yeah, an example, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, like, okay, well, what if they're very clearly to blame here, as in like an example of an affair, and they're just not, they're shutting down, they won't talk, or they're getting really angry and upset when you try to talk to them. Not to pat myself on the back, but like I pride myself in these sort of scenarios, getting people to open up, because the assumption here quite frequently is if they're doing something clearly wrong and then they're not talking about what's going on, it doesn't feel emotionally safe. I can imagine like someone coming into that scenario, talking to like a professional like myself and being like, they're going to judge me and I'm going to be painted as the bad guy. And you know what I do each and every one of those times is I'll start off and be like, okay, this is what's going on. And I'd really like to understand like how it could have come to this point. I bet there's something really painful in this scenario that brought you to the point where you considered that this is an okay sort of thing to do. And I don't want any, I'm not trying to judge this. I'm betting that there's something on your side that's really hard to be dealing with. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be doing this thing. And all this empathy and positive regard, even though they're engaging in some really unhealthy behavior, I'll tell you what, I've not experienced a single situation like that where that person doesn't open up completely to me. And now I have a little bit of an advantage here because, you know, I'm this objective third party and there's a little bit more inherent trust. But I will say that I have a lot of people come in, like clients, partners come in to talk, expecting to be grilled and to be judged. And I get them to be my buddy by the end of the session and cooperative. And it's largely because of that, because I've come in and I I haven't judged them, and I've looked at their side of things, and I empathize with that. And I think that's a lot of what tends to calm this down and why people who are feeling really emotionally overwhelmed, why they are shutting down.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I love this comment here from one of our members. She says, I see him trying to use cautious positive regard with me, even as outside parties try to sabotage our relationship. I believe that it started with me giving him unconditional positive regard, and I laid down a strong foundation. I'm not able to see the rest of the comment because it got cut off here, but that's exactly what we're talking about. Even though there might be, you know, even if your partner is engaging in some destructive, unhealthy behaviors, but you can still detach what they're doing from who they are, that's going to go a long way in removing that judgment, that blame, that criticism. And you can then emotionally process how you're handling all these things so that you can get to a calm, centered place. Again, that's going to create a lot of that emotional safety we're talking about. So leave a comment here. Let us know, do you feel like, which of these three categories do you fall into where your spouse is not wanting to talk with you? Because I want to make sure that you come away with clarity on why that might be. Do you feel like your spouse is in the leave me alone category? Or are they in the leave me alone, but I actually want you to put in some effort and work harder for my relationship? I want you to hero and rescue this. Okay. Could it be the frustrations in communication? They're just so frustrated by how it's not going anywhere that they're just shutting down. Could it be that there is a lot of this emotional overwhelm and lack of emotional safety? Now that you know why your spouse doesn't want to talk with you right now, now you can get to work on the solutions to those. Go back and listen to this because we weaved the solutions throughout this entire process. But if you want to just get the fastest results, then make sure you book a free marriage analysis with us. And because we will go deep into what you can do right now. What are the solutions that you can take in the next 24 hours, the next week, the next 3 months, right? To help your spouse want to communicate with you, to shift those patterns that you might be so stuck in. You might be so ingrained. They're so habitual. But they can change. And Mark and our team here are the best in the world, most sought after marriage experts in the world. We're best-selling authors, over 150 podcast episodes, thousands of marriages saved. You want the best help? We can help you guys. So leave a comment and say marriage analysis in the comments below, and we will do a free marriage analysis with you, showing how you can get there too. Now let's go to our marriage myth buster. Talking more means better communication. Sometimes I hear this also said as like, we don't talk enough. Maybe if we just talked more, then things would be good. So is quantity of talking, quantity of words exchanged, does that equal better communication?
I hate to say that it's false. I would say if people are talking a lot, it doesn't necessarily mean, it doesn't seem to mean one way or the other, whether it's bad or good. So I could say that a lot of more communication is better, and this is true, but maybe with some caveats. And I'd rather really redefine what good communication is about and clarify that. So in my opinion, good communication is communication where there's open, authentic opinions that are shared and received well. I think that good communication means that there's respect and consideration for each person's point of view. I think that it means that there's an avenue for constructive feedback, whether that's positive or negative feedback. I think that there, and more I'm seeing that this is a problem in the larger society, that there's an agreement around facts. There's not always agreement around facts in the larger society today, and that there's active participation from both partners. And if you just go down this list, yes, you know, if you have all these things going, it probably means more communication. But I think more communication is more a result of good communication rather than the other way around. It's not that more communication automatically leads to better communication, but better communication probably leads to more communication. And so I can get where some people might say this, like just try to talk more, just try to go and bring up the subjects more, and that fixes things. And that's not quite true. And I think the misperception there is that confusion right there, because it's a result rather than a path to that good communication. And this is, we always want to understand this. Like it seems like it makes sense. And so it seems like that advice from your friends to say, go talk to them more would make sense, but it's just not the case. And I'd much rather see these other points here and a focus on those rather than just quantity. So
love that.
That's what my opinion on that myth here.
I'm going to throw in my two cents, a little slightly different take on this that just came to my mind. Often I'm going to use a little bit of a stereotype, but this is my experience. I'll hear a lot of my girlfriends say, he just needs to talk more. I wish he would just open up more. And, I don't really think it's quantity of words that we're wanting. It's the deeper level of connection. And so I found that I used to fall into that category too, of wanting Ben just to talk more and be more open or more emotional or whatever. And, since I've let that go, I find so much more peace in our relationship because we do have the connection that I'm looking for. And it doesn't necessarily need to be said in so many number of words. And sometimes we're actually just sitting there, like on our drive up to Denver the other day, we were like sitting there for like probably 10 minutes, just quiet, like listening to music, holding hands. And it was blissful. Like we do not have to fill the space with empty words when you have the right things going in your relationship. So yeah, I agree. Yeah. Focus on more of those foundations of healthy, functional communication. Next week, we're going to share with you, can my marriage be saved? We're going to do a live Q&A with you, where we are going to review your marriage and answer your questions live. We've done, I think this is maybe our fourth one of these, and they are awesome. You guys love them. So we're going to make sure we keep doing that and get you guys real help and real questions answered. So comment hope right now, if you want us to answer your question, and I'll send you the form so that we can review your marriage and answer your questions live. Thank you, Mark, for awesome advice. As always, expert advice here. And thank you guys for watching. We can't wait to see your marriage thrive.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.